I'm going to speak to you out of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. And let's go right there. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. It says, "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us," listen, "who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purposes and grace, which has been given to us in Christ Jesus before time began." Have you ever considered why you're born in this generation, in this country? The thing, you could have been born in any time in history, at any moment. Here you and I are in this place, in this time. God knew well before we were born what he was going to do with us. He had us designed and ready for the things he put on in us were able to make a difference in our generation. It says you're both saved and called. And this is a big deal. Not just saved. We're saved and called. You know, before accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, your future, your eternity was looking pretty bleak, pretty dark. Life without purpose, an eternity without God. So before we get saved, it's really about us. It's about us finding God. I grew up in a non-Christian environment. I didn't meet Jesus. I didn't get saved till I was 24, I believe, something around that time. I didn't believe in God. As a matter of fact, I was actually really good at talking people out of believing in God. I've been practicing believing one way or another for a long time and preaching both directions. And I remember being in Hawaii, and there was I was surfing Sunset Beach for the very first time. Big waves coming through, and again I was out there. I've caught my first wave at sunset. Big wave, paddled into it, caught it. I've come off the back, feeling like the man. I'm feeling really good about life. And as I looked out the back, there was a huge cleanup set twice the size of the waves coming in. And the reason I got the wave is because everybody else was paddling out the back. They'd seen it coming and said, "We're not getting that wave. Anybody catches that wave, they're going to die." And I didn't realize, "Oh, this is my wave. No one's on it. I've got it." And I looked around, and there was waves like as big as this building coming towards me. And I remember paddling. There was plenty of time to die. You know, was it? I could just see the giants coming, people going over the top and just scraping through the feather, the whole thing. And I remember sitting up on my board, there's plenty of time, nowhere to go, and I cried out to a God that I didn't believe in. I said, "God, if you save me, if I live, I will do anything you want." Be careful what you say to God. He writes it down. But what's so funny about that, I was praying to a God that I didn't believe in, and if you come up to me 10 minutes earlier and said, "Hey, do you believe in God?" I said, "That's stupid. That's ridiculous." And here I was in a time of going, "You know what, God, if you're real, do so." You know what, there's an incredible thing that we need to find salvation. We've got, it's about us. It's when we get saved tonight. If you don't know Jesus, don't be stuck in a predicament like that before you reach out to him. Don't wait till it's all over. Don't wait till you're just at the bottom of your rank. There's slipping down that rope with the knot hanging out at the bottom. Don't wait till you get to the end. Start to do it right now. Tonight would be an incredible night for you to reach out to the God that's your creator. The ones we've been singing about. The ones we got excited about. The ones that have saved us and given us a hope and a purpose. Man, and give us an eternity with him. But it's all about him. We need to get saved. There's no doubt about that. Salvation is everything. It says we are living saved but called. So before we get saved, it's really about us. It's about our purpose, about us getting to heaven. And this is how it should be. For life to move forward, this must be taken care of. But once we find Jesus, once we embrace his reality, then we start to get around him, then heaven is no longer our goal. I want you to hear that. If you're a believer here tonight and you love Jesus, then heaven is no longer the goal that you should have. The reality is, if you love Jesus, when you pass from this earth, that's where you're going to go, to heaven. The goal changes. It's not now about getting to heaven. Now it's about getting heaven to earth. That's the goal. That's what we're here for. That's why God doesn't take us out. He leaves us here. We don't get saved and then float off. There goes another one. Hallelujah. No, he keeps us here because the goal is not just getting to heaven. It's about getting heaven to earth. He said, pray like this, my kingdom come, my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The reason we're here is to bring heaven to earth. And the more of heaven we bring to earth, the more of earth we're going to see go to heaven in Jesus' name. That's what we're here. It's not about leaving the planet. If it was about leaving the planet, we'd just shoot all the new Christians. See that hand? See that hand? Yes. Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. You see the usher? They've got a blindfold. The back. We got the latest in tech machine guns out there. It's just awesome. In a few moments, you're going to be in heaven with Jesus. They all race to the front, go out the back, and then we hear this. We're getting really. This is awesome. And we stand to our feet, maybe sing a song about the blood. Look, they're going to heaven and it's revival. We need to take up our offering because we're in revival. Not for a building, but for ammunition, saints. You need to give. That's not about getting rid of people. It's about getting them saved and then called. It's about saved and then it changes to called. We're saved, we find Jesus. It's not about leaving the planet. It's about getting now heaven to earth so more of earth can go to heaven. That's why Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations, not decisions of all nations. Because a decision gets you to heaven, but a disciple helps get somebody else to heaven. So it's about not being, you need to have a decision first, but then it's about becoming a disciple because it's not just about getting you to heaven, it's about getting you and somebody else to heaven. Understand, we are saved and then we are called. Part one for your life, for all people's lives, is God's plan that they find him, they accept the wonder of Jesus, they start to embrace who he is, their creator, what he's done for them. Christ into their world, it becomes who they are, and as a result, heaven becomes your eternal destination. Then part two, saved part one, going to heaven, knowing God. Part two is called bringing heaven to earth. God's plan is much bigger than just getting me or you to heaven. It's about him and us helping others get there as well. So it's wrong thinking to think, well, you know what? I'm saved. I made a decision in 2017. Made a decision in 2008, 2005. I made a decision. Yeah, I've given my life to Christ. And now it's church once every couple of months when it fits in. You try and be as good as you can, and you pray a little bit. The Bible, well, not really. But you're just trying to universalize it so the scales are right, that you'll just scrape your way into heaven. It's wrong thinking. Because it's not about just being saved from hell. It's about being called into the plans of God. It's not about just saved. It's not just scraping into heaven. It's now being a part of what God's got to do. And even for people I've seen, you know, they get into, oh, I'm wanting Jesus to come back right now. And I just wish he'd come back. Or I wish the rapture would take place. Oh, that we get to heaven. And, I really think, you're a really long time dead as it is. Once you go, you're gone. And I worry about people that want to leave the planet a little early. You want to go now? I mean, You want to go to heaven? Well, why do you want me to pray for you when you're sick? Make up your mind. Do you want to go to heaven? See, people that want to leave now is because they've got a damaged soul. Because they've hurt, they're disappointed, they've not found the plan of God for their lives. And they're thinking that heaven will solve all their problems. But the point is, we need to get back to the plans of God. It's not about getting to heaven, it's about getting heaven to earth. It's not just about us, it's about somebody else as well. It's wrong thinking to think like that. You know, I remember they were saying Jesus was going to come back in the year 2000. And they were saying, yeah, this is the year. It's the end of the year. And I'm thinking, gosh, I hope he waits till after the Olympics. Maybe God hasn't taken us out because there's still a lot of work to be done. Maybe there's a generation that still needs to know Jesus, and that they don't get told they'll spend a Christless eternity. Maybe that's the reason we're still here. So God's plan for our lives is bigger than just our life, just what we're about. It includes what we do, but it's bigger than that. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says this. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. My favorite scripture in the Bible, that God made us. He had a design, a plan. He knew when we were going to be born. He knew what we needed for our generation. He knew what country we were going to end up in. And he put it all into our soul. And he said, before you were born, whether your parents or anybody knew you were coming, I had a plan for your life. Man, you're my workmanship, created for not nothing, not for bad things, but for good works. For good things. We're here to make a difference. We're here to bring God and good to our generation. It's not just about us. It's about working in good works. Good works. Created for good works. Not nothing. Not self, but called to holy purposes. To bring what God's put in us to our generation. Such a powerful revelation. So the Christian life is about being saved. And tonight again, if you've not made a decision for Jesus, most of the people in this room have. I can tell you right now what they would say to you, that it's the best decision they have ever made in their lives. Would that be true? It is the best decision. See, many people don't make a decision for Jesus because they think, well, you won't be able to do that, you won't be able to do that, I can't do that anymore, I won't be able to do that anymore. You know what? There are so many yeses in the kingdom of God that if you start doing the yeses, you don't have time to worry about not the noes. And when you start doing the yeses that God has, you'll find they're much better than the things you thought you were going to give up anyway. Because the Bible says the devil and the world comes to steal, to kill and destroy, but God comes to bring him his life and life more abundantly. The very thing we think we're going to lose is what we actually gain from God. And tonight, think about it, consider. There's no doubt that the plan is that we get saved, that we find him, that it becomes reality. We're saved, but then we're called. You know this, you won't regret in heaven one moment of what you did for him in earth. You will not regret in heaven one moment of what you did for him on this earth. God has a plan, a purpose for your life, for the here and now. There are people waiting for you to be their answer, their hope, their way forward, their salvation. God is very clear in his picture. His desire is that all should be saved. All. In the Greek, the word all actually means all. And in Australian, it means a really big number. It's important that all are saved. God's plan is not just you get saved, but all get saved. See, numbers are incredibly important to God. They're always important. People are like, oh, it's not about numbers. Yes, it is about numbers. It's always about numbers. It's all about those that make it, and it's all about those that don't know. You know, if you've got three children, you're at a beach somewhere, you've got little kids, and if you're a parent, you might have experienced this already. Simo with four children. Yeah, I'm talking about you as well. Five children. I don't know if you know Pastor Simo, who led the night. He runs our Red Frogs programs, does an incredible job. Great job tonight. Hey, you're really good up here. I like it, man. But if you've had children and you're at a beach and they disappear, like, zoom, zoom, you're doing something, they're gone. You look around, all right, where are the kids? Be like a city kids pastor. Every Sunday morning, where are the kids? And you panic a bit and the wife says, cook, we've got to go look for them. So you head off this way, she heads off that way, and a couple of minutes later she's found one, she brings him back. You found one of them, you bring him back in time to the bumper of the car. And then you say, okay, let's go home. And she looks at you and say, what do you mean, let's go home? We have three children. One is still missing. Imagine if his response was, numbers don't matter. Who knows, it always matters to the one who's still lost. Always matters to the one that's still lost. You see, numbers are important. We're called, we're saved, but we're called as well. It's not just about being saved, we're saved and called. I don't want to read about great things happening around the planet that God's doing in other countries. I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to read about it. I want to be in the middle of it. I want to be where God is. Find someone. Tell someone. Show somebody. Bless somebody. Lead somebody. Help somebody. Invite somebody. God is building his church, not out of brick and mortar, but out of flesh and heart and soul. His answer for the world is his people, the church. His dwelling place is the church. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. I'm going to give you a heads up today. Not everybody knows this, but every message preached this year from this pulpit by one of our preachers will have a scripture from the book of Ephesians in it. So by the end of the year, you will know Ephesians backwards, upside down, and back to front. Now, by telling you that, I want you to, if anybody gets up here and doesn't preach with a scripture from Ephesians, you need to let me know. All right? So I'll give you the heads up. So the heads up would be, read Ephesians. You'll know it's coming. All right? Read Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 through 22, it says this. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom also you are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. The plan of God is that he builds this group, not a building. He's not talking about building a holy temple building. He's talking about building a holy people, that he's going to be his dwelling place. What an incredible thought that is. You know, that God is the biggest thing ever. There's nothing bigger than God. There's nothing bigger than God. You know what they can't find? The end of the universe. Is because as God speaks, he creates. He creates planets and universes, solar systems. And the reason they can't find the end is because God has not stopped talking. And until God stops talking and shuts up for a minute, they're not going to find the end of the universe. God is that big that he speaks and the universe keeps unfolding in front of him. Planet, solar system, the whole thing keeps going. He is that big. So he can't live anywhere else. You think of a God that big, where could he live? Back in the Old Testament, they said they tried to put him in the Ark of the Covenant, a little box. You can't put God in a box. He got out of that very quickly. Then they said, well, where are we going to put him? They said, build him in a temple. So they built a great temple and said, right, we're going to put God behind the curtains. You can't put the God of the universe behind the curtains. The day that Jesus gets crucified, he rips the curtains and he moves out. The only place big enough for a God that big to live, listen to this, is the heart of a human being. The only place that a God that big can live is in the heart of his creation. So he's building a temple, a people with a heart towards him, a holy place, and his presence will abide. His kingdom come from heaven to earth. That's what he's talking about. My kingdom come, thy will be done here through this holy temple, not a building, but a people that embrace and he indwells them. In Revelation 21, it talks about a new Jerusalem. Again, it doesn't describe a place, it describes a people. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 5 says this. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, listen to this, you also as living stones, saved, now called, were living stones, are being built up, a spiritual house, like we just said before in Ephesians, a holy temple, the people are being built. They're living stones, not dead stones, they're living, are being built into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. So you and I are becoming these called people, not these dead rocks, but these living stones. And it's a dwelling place for the power of God. It's a dwelling place for the presence of God. It's a dwelling place for his thing on earth. That's us. So individually, our choice boils down to, listen, saved and called. Will you stay a dead rock or will you become a living stone? It's the stones that get chipped and smoothed off. You see, to build a holy temple, they get the rocks, and the rocks have got to be now smoothed out. They've got to be sharpened up a little bit. They've got to be made to fit in to this building. And so when you get saved, a part of being called is that God's going to do some work on you. It's called holy sandpaper. You're going to get rubbed the wrong way. The reason we have church with other people is so we can get rubbed the wrong way. That people will upset us, aggravate us, annoy us, because they won't be the same. They won't say the same thing. I mean, you'll get told at church you can't do some things. Why? Not that we don't want you to do them. It's that we need you to start sharpening or shaping your world so you fit into the program. So you become a living stone and not a dead rock. I mean, sparks could fly. You're not getting your own way. Will you embrace the heavenly angle grinder? When a leader says, that's great, but let's do it another way. Dead rocks are uninterested in being formed and fashioned, being told what to do, fitting together. Dead rocks are uninterested in what they want, how they feel, how it affects them, not about other people. They can't see they are a part of this incredible building called this holy temple that God wants to put together. I don't need to change. People know how I should know how I feel. When it suits me, I'll be there. No, living stones, the Bible said, start to sharpen and shapen and smooth their edges off so they can fit together to become this temple that houses the power and the presence of God. We learn to deal with disappointment a little bit. People say, look, man, I don't go to church. And I go, well, why? And I say, well, I got hurt at church. Oh, they say, the church hurt me. And I say, what, the building jumped on you? No, somebody hurt me. So you've just not dealt with that, and that's why you're out of the kingdom of God, because you've not been able to deal with an offense. You've not been able to do. I'll tell you how you're going to get hurt at church. Just keep coming. Somebody's going to let you down. Somebody's going to disappoint you. Somebody's going to upset you the wrong way. And the truth is, they don't mean to. It happens like that. And it's a part of the sanding. It's a part of the smoothing of who we are, so we become these living stones, fit with the rocks to the stones to the left, stones to the right, stones on top, stones beneath, so we fit into the house of God and be that temple that He's trying to build. It's not always just about us. I mean, all the time we get sorry about that, we get hurt. It's not about getting hurt. It's about how we deal with hurt. It's part of the shaping to become a living stone. Let's not be out there, oh, I'm going to church because I got hurt. I'm not going to school, why? Because I got hurt. I'm leaving the planet, why? Because I got hurt. No, it's not about getting hurt. It's about dealing with the things that God has in front of us. They can't see that they're a part of the building. Living stones, though, realize they are a part of something more than themselves and have a big part to play in it. They're saved and called. They're not dead rocks. They're living stones. They feel the need to be challenged and sharpened so they can play their part. I call these people the do whatever it takes sort of person. Whatever it takes to get the kingdom going. Stones on top, stones below, stones to the left, stones to the right, stuck in the middle with you. Living stones. I almost sang that, Andy, but none of these people would know it. It's too old, that song now. Stuck in the... Anyway, don't go there. Living stones find where they fit, what they're supposed to be doing, and get about their business of building God's kingdom on earth. They're involved. They're not trying to see what they get out of it. They're trying to see what they can put back into it. They want to live, not exist. They want to make a difference. Dead rocks, on the other hand, they're sort of dead. They're just sort of a weight. They turn up, they sit around, they carry no responsibility, they're not involved. It's always somebody else's job. They're not others orientated, it's about them. And there's always a reason after reason why they can't be involved, they can't do this, they can't do that. And if they put as much effort into being involved as they commit to making reasons up, we wouldn't have anything to do. In other words, they just sit around. Even people, it's almost like there's a dead rock mountain of trying to get out of everything rather than get into everything. Even people talk about anti-tithing. Well, tithing's not New Testament. Tithing's Old Testament. Well, they start to talk about how, you know, the Bible says this about, and what they're really saying is, what they're trying to make up is a reason why they don't need to get involved. That's what they're doing. See? But a person that's a living stone, it's not about whether it's Old Testament, New Testament, or in between Testaments, it doesn't matter. Generosity is what changes our world. I'm in. It's not about some scriptural reference. It's about that this is the plan of God. They're not looking for ways to get out. They're looking for ways to get in. They're saved and now they're called. They're not dead rocks. They're living stones. And living stones are the things that God's going to build this holy temple with. And His presence will abide in it. And His power will flow through it. It is the living stones. Tonight, if you're a believer here tonight, you're saved and you're called. Not to be a dead rock, a weight, but to be a living stone that houses the presence and the power of God. That's what you're called. Tonight, if you're not saved, if you don't know Jesus, this could be the greatest night of your life. Listen, you could make a decision here tonight that won't change something. It will change everything. When I cried out to a God in that sunset beach or that wave that, God, if you save me, I'd do anything for you, I didn't really take much notice of that. It was only a number of years later that I end up at a church meeting and somebody invited me along, and so I went, and in that place, something about the presence of God told me it was a true and real thing that I was experiencing. It wasn't made up. He was the creator. And with no knowledge of what I was about to do, I made a decision to give my life to Jesus Christ. Changed everything about my world. For good, not for bad. Tonight, if you're here and you've never made this decision, this one, God's plan for your life is saved. God's plan is that you know Him. You'd find Him tonight. Or maybe you've been away from God. You know what? So much stuff gets in our way. We got good intentions and great ideas, and we're on fire for God a bit, and stuff gets the wrong people with stuff. All of a sudden, we find ourselves down a track or a gully we don't want to be, and then something clicks again. We say, you know what? It's time to be back with Him. It's time not just to be saved, but to be called. Tonight, maybe you need to make a recommitment, a decision that says, you know what? Enough is enough. I know what the truth is. I'm coming back. God's not mad. He's not angry. Doesn't matter what you've done or where you've been. His grace and love has never stopped outpouring towards you tonight. Would you close your eyes and bow your heads right across this auditorium tonight?